Hi, I'm Peter Czanik, open source evangelist at One Identity. Today I will be talking about measuring and analyzing humidity data using Python, SystogNG and Elasticsearch. A few words about me. As I mentioned, I'm working at One Identity. One Identity is an upstream for Sudo and SystogNG. I'm helping in RPM and FreeBSD packaging of this software and also explaining them at various conferences and in blogs and articles. My original plan was to practice Python and Elasticsearch using sensor data collected on a Raspberry Pi. And obviously I also wanted to learn how to properly regulate humidity in my room. However, the Raspberry Pi turned out to be too small for running Elasticsearch, so I couldn't solve collecting measurement data around the clock, which meant that I needed some kind of buffering of the measurement data, but that was too difficult a task to do in Python, at least for a beginner programmer. So I decided to use SystogNG, which I know quite well. I used Raspberry Pi 3 with a SparkFun add-on board and connected a couple of sensors to it. I did data collection using Python. It was really easy. I just had to install a Python module and then download some sample code from GitHub. I used the example scripts to check if the sensors are working at all. If you look at the data here, you might see something quite strange. Temperature is 70 degrees, which is quite hot in a room, but then I realized that it's in Fahrenheit. I'm in Europe, I'm more used to Celsius, and luckily it was easy to fix this problem. I just had to replace a function in the Python code to get results in Celsius. Here is the Python code I did. It's really simple, but it took me quite a while to get it working properly. First, I import a few modules for the sensor and some more time and syslog to be able to log data with proper times and to and as a syslog message. Next, I initialize the sensor and exit if the sensor cannot be initialized. And finally, there is a an endless loop which checks the current time, the humidity and the temperature in the room, and then it prints to the screen and also sends a syslog message, then waits for a second and then repeats everything again. Here is how the syslog messages look like. You can see that it's a pretty regular syslog header followed by two key value pairs on screen, the humidity and the temperature collected by the Python script. The next task was configuring Elasticsearch. There is a limitation right now in SystogNG, which means that all data is handled as strings. On the other hand, Kibana can do graphs only from number data, not from strings. There is a workaround for this using mapping in Elasticsearch. And I have a good news here that upcoming versions of SystogNG will resolve this limitation and will be able to handle type data. here is the mapping I used. It's really simple, just the date and then two floating point values from the sensor. Here are some tricks about installing SysTogNG. When you install the basic SysTogNG package, then it tries to install all possible modules, downloading all possible dependencies, including Java, which is quite huge and completely useless in this situation. So what I did, I just installed the two packages which are important for my use case, JSON support and HTTP destination support, and then used the default configuration on the Raspberry Pi and extended it with a few more lines to collect sensor data and forward it to Elasticsearch. Here is the first part of my configuration. There is a filter which is matching on the application name of my Python script. Then the SysTogNG key value parser is used to extract data from the log messages, as any incoming log messages are handled as text, but here we need the values within the text. And finally, we have a destination here. For debugging, I saved sensor data also locally and into a file destination. And then I also have an Elasticsearch HTTP destination where I saved the same values. And as you can see, there is also a huge disk buffer configured. This is why I used SysTogNG. As in 1 gigabyte, my sensor could run for days without uploading data to my Elasticsearch server. So if I forgot to turn it on one day, then it was not a problem. And here is the log path, which collects all of these pieces together. As you can see, I use the very same source as for the main SysTogNG configuration, and then the blocks I defined on the previous page, the filter, the parser, and the destination. Here you can see a graph from Kibana. The blue line is the temperature, and the green line is for humidity. And what you can see is what happens when I open my windows. Both the temperature and humidity drops sharply in the room. And as soon as I close the window, both start to rise. The temperature goes back quickly. However, as you can see, the humidity stays at a lower level. Let me summarize my talk. As you could see from my slides, a simple Python script running on really cheap hardware can provide valuable input for real-life situations. What I learned about humidity, that humidity returns to the original level almost immediately when the windows are open only for a short time. But if you keep windows open for 5 minutes or more, then it has a long-term impact on indoors humidity. Thank you for your attention. Do you have any questions?
Hey, Peter, thanks a lot for the chat. I think the questions still need to come in, but I already have a question there. And I'm not very familiar with the syslog. I was wondering how does syslog actually connect to Kibana or Elasticsearch itself? Is there some API, or is it happening regularly on the back end, or how does it work?
Yes, it's using the Elasticsearch API, so REST API. So it's
okay.
Just like any other client sending data to Elasticsearch.
I see. It can be anywhere else, so it doesn't need to be locally, because I suppose you set up your Elasticsearch server on your local network, but so it can be anywhere else as well. It can be on AWS, for example.
Yes, it can be anywhere else. I run something on the local network, but it was only on for short periods of time. That's why I needed this 1 gigabyte, this buffer.
I see. That's very nice. Yes. Okay. Sounds good. And I see there's also another question. So he wants to know the URL for the code used here. Is it open source? I guess it is. Yes. And
it is, but it's really short, so it's on the slide. I can put it on the GitHub, but I don't see much worth in it.
I see. Okay.
It's really a single page.
I see. And I also see that there's another person who is running his own thermostat on a Raspberry Pi with Python. And yeah, that was very interesting too. Even me, yes, it's very cool indeed that this thing can be established on the Raspberry Pi itself.
Yes, what I did is a beginner level. I just learned to monitor my home, but there are quite a few people around me who actually using it to control temperature as well. So turn on and off the heating.
I see. But how would it work? So that means the thermostat needs to be IoT ready, right? Because I think the thermostat, at least in my house, it doesn't have any, I can't connect to it. So there needs to be some Bluetooth or Wi-Fi connection to it, I guess.
Yes, there are quite a few solutions for it.
I see. Very nice, very nice. And I also see a comment. I don't know if it's by you, but yeah, it's about the blog, I guess, from you, which has the code there on the chat.
Yes, that's from me.
I see. Okay. That's nice already. I see some people are typing. I don't see it yet, though. Oh, and by the way, I also was trying to do something very similar. I was trying to make a Raspberry Pi. I mean, it's not really related to your chat, but until the question comes up, I thought I could say something. So I had a Raspberry Pi, which is actually serving as a motion detection camera kind of thing. But I saw that for IoT, it's not possible to send more than 256 KB of size of file or something. So then we need to use some other tool to actually upload larger files, I guess. But I guess for you, that's not a problem because you send it to syslog, which is a really small data set.
Yes, it's collecting continuously, and it also streams continuously when the Elasticsearch server is online.
Indeed. No, I think that's very nice, yeah, because you don't always get the connectivity, et cetera, and you don't always connect. But it was curious because I thought that you hard-coded the IP address of your Elasticsearch server, and I think that is a bit of a hope, no? Because sometimes the local server IP address might change, so you probably might need to set up some, some internal local DNS, so I don't know how that would be done. But maybe IP address for local machine might not be fail proof, I guess. Or does it not change at all, the local IP address for your Elasticsearch server?
For any services, I use fixed IP addresses on my network.
Yeah, I see. Okay. I see another question coming up. Sorry, one was a comment. My Raspberry Pi connects via USB to LabJack. I'm not sure what LabJack is. I don't know if you're familiar with it, but it puts the address there, which is connected to my heater and turns it on and off. Okay, nice. Well, I need to check what LabJack is. I don't know, maybe you're familiar with it, Peter? I think it's a tool, which you can order, which can connect to your heater, turn it on and off, and seems quite interesting too. And there's also another question. Why not use MQTT actually to send those metrics from the sensor? Then you could integrate it with other tools in the future. I think I sort of agree with it. And you may later on be interested, for example, in Node-RED in home automation. And any particular reason why not MQTT? I mean, I guess you're familiar with Syslog, so you chose Syslog, I guess. But is there some reason why you didn't choose MQTT for messaging?
The Python, it was easy to integrate for me with SysLogNG, as that's what I'm working on for the past 10 years or so.
Yeah, I see.
Next time I could also do with MQTT.
Yeah, but I think Syslog, I like your option of Syslog because it has a different advantage, like you showed out, that it can cache the data or store the data before actually sending it, which is a big positive in my opinion as well. Yeah. And MQTT is nice as well. No, I think it's more as far as I know, some lightweight messaging message queue system, and it works pretty well as well. But I know that it also has a disadvantage that you can't send larger than 256 KB or something in that. So you would need to cut it apart. For example, you couldn't send a video with it or something. So just a comment. And I also see that my Mikhail, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing his name correctly. He says you may later be interested, for example, in nodered.org in home automation. I see. Very nice. Don't know about it either, but seems very interesting. There are lots of people working with IoT and home automation, I feel, and I think that's a trend as well for us developers indeed. I don't think there are any other questions unless I missed some. A lot of people think it's very cool, Peter. Thank you again. Thanks a lot for presenting your work.